About that, y'all, technical difficulties, you know, it's a live show. Everything happens. What you see is what you get. But yeah, you
Right.
said Memphis, Tennessee. We got Memphis in the building, man. First time, first person to come from Memphis out here. This is really dope. So we appreciate you for coming on, man.
Yo, I appreciate y'all for having me, man.
No doubt.
Okay, there we go. We got a little delay. It's
Yeah.
okay, live show though.
Live
What
show.
you trying to get started? Everybody, once again, Mike Nasty. Memphis, Tennessee is in the fucking, sorry for this. In the building. I'm reforming myself. It's in the building. You feel what I'm saying? But we're gonna go ahead and get into these topics, you
Yes,
feel
we're
me?
about to get
Because
into these topics. Shout out to
only
everybody in
got
the
an
chat.
hour.
Iron Line Zion 45. We got Miss CeCe, Stripes Over Checks.
Ooh,
And who else? We
yes.
got Rim in the building, an International Block. Shout out to y'all, man. Thank you for tuning in. But let's get started. Instagram cuts us off after an hour. Let's get into this first topic. First thing we about to talk about, DJ Khaled versus Tyler the Creator. Both dropped albums about 2 weeks ago now, I believe. We had Father Rasad, and then we had Igor. Igor's amazing album. If anybody who did not get to listen to it, make sure y'all go listen to it. But recently, it's looking like DJ Khaled is feeling a little bit salty about coming in number two. We actually got the video that he posted on social media. So I want you guys to take a look and let us know what you think.
I make albums so people can play it and you actually
All right,
hear
man,
it.
just playing a
You
clip
know,
right now.
driving your car, you
Yo,
hear another
shame.
car playing it. You know, go to the barber shop and hear them playing it. You know, turn the radio on and you hear them playing it. You know, it's playing everywhere. It's called great music. It's called albums that you actually hear the songs. Not no mysterious shit and you never hear it. On your dome. I gotta say this too. I make albums so people can play it and you actually hear it. You know, driving your car, you hear another.
Everybody, but man, this is something else. We got DJ Khaled throwing shade at Tyler Creator. I've never seen him in this form before. This is very weird. But I want to get y'all takes on it. Mike,
Yo, one interesting thing
talk
before
about.
we even crucify him real quick.
Okay.
A lot of I've been seeing a lot of people say the funny thing is Nicki was complaining about something similar. Like when she dropped her album, but everybody was laughing at her saying that she was crazy, but now Khaled's saying the same thing. So do you think, like, without saying it, he's trying to say like the Billboard is manipulating the chart numbers to help some artists over others? Because if both of them are saying the same thing, you feel me, at the end, at the last minute, their sales got chopped or whatever agreements they had got what rescinded. You feel what I'm saying? Like, then is there some funny business going on behind the scenes? You feel what, is that why he feels emboldened to the point where he's gonna try to sue them? Because it sounds fucking crazy. You feel me? When you like, oh, DJ Khaled about to sue Billboard because his album didn't go number one. Like, isn't it up to the fans to determine if your album goes number one? How do you sue Billboard for that? But if he's taking it that far, it might be something deeper. You feel me? Behind the scenes. You never know.
Well, honestly, what I've been seeing is that it was a scandal. So he had some bundle album bundle deal with like an energy drink or something. I think maybe a t-shirt or something was involved with that bundle that would account as album sales. But I think it didn't go through in time or get submitted in the right time, or they didn't approve it. But all those sales from the bundle scandal or whatever, Billboard didn't count those. So I think he's a little salty about that. But I don't see how people are doing bundles nowadays in the digital age anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Streaming farms, man.
Right.
Streaming farms. That's
Yeah,
all it
man.
is. It exists on IG. Shy says, I agree, Lord. Rim says, nah, bro, Father Rasad was trash. The Father Rasad is trash. And then he put the laughing emoji. He said, nigga mad he couldn't sell his supplements. He's like an IG model. Wow. Jeez, damn, bro.
Yo, he
Damn,
was
son.
waiting to say that. He's been
Yo,
waiting all day to say
I
that.
felt him venting through that. What you
Shit.
got?
I don't think the album was trash. I feel like what's the word I'm looking for? he was reaching with several songs, like the SZA song. It was a reach with the Outkast sample. Mm-hmm. Just certain songs you don't touch. You let them be. It's like somebody trying to go remake Thriller for Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's trying to do that because you can never really top the original. So I feel like that song was a reach.
Wait, real quick. How do you feel about the Beyonce song, man?
Before I Let Go remix.
Before I Let Go. You see, you know how she just remade it? How you feel about that?
I mean, off the internet, I've been saying my opinion about it, and girls been feeling the type of way, and I know.
So forget it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We don't want the beehive killing you, man.
But going back to my previous statement, you understand my standpoint on both of those records. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. I always compare.
Not that it's a bad song. Like, the Beyonce song is cool. Like, it rocks in the club, but it's just, like, the magnitude of the first one is just, like, we're good with the first one. You know what I'm saying? But it's a cool song, you know?
It is. I enjoy it. I play it. I play it at parties. People like it. They enjoy it. But my take on DJ Khaled's album compared to Igor is I'm sorry to say it this way, but I'm getting kind of tired of Khaled. Like, I feel like I'm getting the same album every single time from him, where it's just him. I mean, the last one we got was the Maria sample. Now we got the SZA sample. It's like, all right, like, give me something new. I'm tired of hearing We the Best and DJ Khaled on every track. Tyler, the Creator, gave us a very refreshing album. He gave us something that we have not heard in a very long time. You listen to Earthquake, mm-hmm. You listen to I Think, like, just the first three opening songs of that album is what you're supposed to do with an album. You're supposed to create art in your music, and I feel like Khaled has not done that in a while. He's giving us the same thing every time. He's trying to give us hits after hits after hits, and I understand, but come on, man, you got to give us a solid project. You have but to.
The records aren't even really hits. He just throws a bunch of popular artists on the record. He does the same Bubblegum California type record with the Chris Browns, Big Sean's, Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper. Like, I've seen the same record remade three or four times. So
this you're right. You're 100% right. No, that's a fact.
I've never played those songs in the club either. So.
Over on IG, shout out to Mel Clark for tuning in. Rhonda Rocks for tuning in. What's going on, Rhonda? Shaw says Beyonce's song was horrible. Miss CC Baby says Beyonce should have left that song alone. In all caps, !! And LOL in caps. Shaw says, I'm a fan, but out of all people, she should have killed that. Shout out to Red Moon Shan for tuning in. That guy Stan and Stanley Nick. What's going on, bro?
Cooning in. My God.
My bad. I'm speaking too fast, though, man. Stuck in there. Damn, son. Nick says he's not an artist, he's a producer. Shy says, what does he do besides make beats, LOL, and talk on other people's tracks? Stanley Nickel Fritz says he's only capable of making that kind of shit. Rhonda says Khaled was being a hater. Two different sounds of music. That's a fact. Red Moon Chan says that song with Chris Brown would have been trash without Drake. Ooh, I'm not going there. I'm not talking about that.
Yo, wait, is that like Chris Brown hate because of the situation, or is that real facts?
That song is hard. I don't know what she's talking about. That song is hard. Yo, Mike, what you think about that song?
I would say the collab, I thought it would be, it's a good song, but I thought it was going to be something like different. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that song was either an old Drake song or old Chris Brown song, and they just hit up one of them another and did it. Like, I feel like it wasn't like built in the studio in a session. Mm-hmm. Like, they just created from scratch. I feel like it was a leftover song. Not saying the song's not bad. It's cool, but I don't know if it'll be getting played like a year from now.
Okay. It's funny you say that, because when I first heard the song, I kind of felt like I heard it before. I felt like I knew the words for some weird reason.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an old Drake song. The end sounds like a...
It's that 40 flip when they... that Thank Me Later flip. Song. You're right. 100% right.
Reverend Chan says, but it couldn't be a standalone Chris song. The song is good, though. I mean, I don't know.
It was a good blend between the two. Yeah.
You feel me?
So,
and Chris could do his thing still, end of the day.
So, what do you guys think on this whole, back to the whole Drake and the whole Khaled and Tyler thing? Do you feel like, if it's not the case where Billboard isn't making mistakes. What should Khaled really be doing about this situation? Should he just take his L and move on, or does he have a right to appeal this decision?
I mean, as a producer, bro, like, if I get number two on the Billboard charts, I'm a happy man. And if I'm already a millionaire, I'm a happy man. So just make the good music, man. Stop throwing five major artists on one song and think you're going to get a hit. It just doesn't really work like that. It was a lot of, like, the Jodeci sample on the song, on that Jodeci song, like, yo, that wasn't a good flip of the sample. You just looping the same every freaking, like, that was not personally, like, and you think he's thinking he's going to hit this, like, nostalgia spark with people, but, like, it's not timeless music. You just taking a sample and expecting people to like it, when half of these kids nowadays wasn't even born. His audience wasn't even born when that song was out.
Exactly. You know,
it just sounded like some 90s, like, sped up chipmunk song. I don't know, bro.
You're right.
It wasn't good to me.
100% right. I like the fact that you said that the kids that are listening to it don't even know it, because there's all those memes that go around where it's like, when Miss Jackson comes on, the kids are like, oh wow, they sampled that DJ Khaled song already. And it's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, nah, bro. This is back in, like, what was that, 2001, 2002 or something. So, you know, that's a good point that you make.
What this we got? Old stuff was way better, though. Like, he has some hits, like No New Friends, just all the old Khaled, Lil Wayne records. Like, he has great music, but it's like, now it's like, with the way social media is in 2019, it's like, people feel like they got to reach when you really don't. You just got to make great music. Like, that's what it comes down to. I feel like Tyler's album sound like a Pharrell album to me. That's what I always tell people when I talk about it. Like, it was very Pharrell influence. And for him to produce the whole thing, like, he's good in my book. I respect Tyler, you know.
Yeah. Khaled It's more than just the music when it comes to Tyler. And Khaled, like y'all said, he's really just throwing together shit and hoping that it stick. And that's not going to work. Like, I don't get it. But how long has Khaled been in the game right now?
A long time.
Like, he need to learn, like, how to age gracefully, like, Jay, because, like, what the fuck? I get his slogan is "We the best" and all of that, but come on, bro, you're not gonna hold the torch forever. You feel me? And when I first heard it, I was like, yo, he's probably just mad because he named it after his son and he wanted to do that for his son. That's why he's going so hard. But I don't know. Like, it's really. I feel like there has to be something else for him to be going this hard, bro. Like,
nah, I think he underestimated Tyler, bro. He underestimated Tyler.
He can't, because he said it himself. Tyler had, well, one of the things I read today was that he said his bundle sales weren't counted, but Tyler's was. Like, Tyler did the same thing, and his sales got counted, but they didn't count on Khaled's. So that's why I'm like, it got to be something deeper, bro. It has to be. Honestly, we going to see, though.
Honestly, it sounded like somebody on his team getting fired. Honestly, it just sounded like something wasn't submitted on time. That's what it just sounds like. Or he just tried to do too much. Like, who cares about an energy drink in a bundle? That you're trying to sell us something else. Just come out with the DJ Khaled energy drink on the side, bro. Like, you see what I'm saying? Facts. Like, you tried to do too much when it's just supposed to be about the music. Like, give us the music, give us a coffee mug and a t-shirt. We good. Like, for your fans.
That's a fact.
You feel like nowadays people have to do little gimmick stuff like that to get stream sales and album sales?
Not at all. Nah. It's so easy to get streaming now. But, like, if you got clout, bro, like, it's record execs that will go sign a model just because they got a following on Instagram. Like, you can have 255.
True.
And somebody like, yo, I'll give you a deal. And they'll try to literally develop you. Or you could come out with this BS record and it'll be streaming. Like, it's people I know that don't even have record deals that have got a million streams, like, as SoundCloud producers. So it's not that hard. It's all about algorithms.
Dropping some gems just now.
Yo, in the chat on IG, that guy Stan says Scissor song with the Outkast sample was a disappointment. Red Moon Chan said, King Africa said Tyler song gone sound familiar or not.
He says
he stole it.
Africa definitely did make that sound first. I'll admit it.
Facts. Red Moon Chan said Chris apparently having another kid, so maybe that's why his head's not all in it. that guy stands to take your L like everyone else. King Africa said, wait, what happened? Shaisha said, Khaled being a bitch, a big bitch. Sheesh. Nasisi says she agree with Stan. Red Moon Chan, LOL, Chipmunk, that guy stands to, they ruined that sample. They could have done so much. Damn, son.
Joe, what's going on? Thanks for tuning in, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
The proof is there, bro. You know, people, if you gonna sample some, it gotta be something so obscure and.
Well, I think we're losing you. We're losing you a little bit. Losing you a little bit, bro.
In the right way, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Hold on, we losing you, bro.
You still there? Technical difficulties, everybody. We still live, though. We still live.
Yeah. Oh, he's back up. Yo, what's good, Jojo? Hold up. BRB, everyone.
Yep. We are back. What's up? Africademia here got longer. No homo. Yes, I did grow it out a little bit. I'm balding, by the way. Just a side note. I'm sad about it. Miss CC Baby says,
hey, hold that down.
CC Baby says, I'll take a sip in the meantime. King Africa. Oh, they doing their own thing. So back to this DJ Khaled, Tyler thing. You know, it's very unfortunate. I hate to see DJ Khaled in this form. This is somebody that I've seen and admired for a long time, who came up, took advantage of social media to create his career with Snapchat. But speaking about social media, I just want to hop into this next topic and play something for you guys about a little interaction that happened with Mr. Fofty.
Fofty.
He just wanted you to just see his. He just wanted you to see his Instagram, man.
I believe my shit. You know what I'm saying? I put money by my shit.
Are you crazy though?
I'm crazy. I'm crazy about my talent, man. Simply
about
your talent.
It's not gonna work.
How is it gonna work?
Tell me that. This shit is not gonna work.
How is it gonna work?
You know it's not gonna work. You know why?
Because
you're stupid. The way you're approaching it is wrong.
How? First you want a CD or album?
Nah, dude, what the fuck are you gonna, there's nothing to play right now. There's nothing you can show me right now that's gonna help you.
Like, yo, this is it.
Look at my IG. It's gonna help you right now.
Well, school me, man. You're OG.
Yes. So this was a little interaction that a rapper had with 50 Cent and told him to check out his IG. He said, check out my IG. He was just trying to make it. So I want to get y'all thoughts and opinions on this situation. Was this the correct way to approach a 50 Cent or artist or somebody you're trying to get put on? Do you guys think that is this appropriate? I think is the better question. Was this an appropriate interaction? And what would you have done differently if it's not? What's your take on it?
Honestly, to me, it was inappropriate from jump just because he's out with a shorty. Like, you feel me? That off rip is kind of disrespectful for you to run down on him and ask him to. I feel like it's even some bitch shit because you probably thought he was going to be softer because he was with shorty and really hold it down and listen to your shit. But he didn't even have nothing to listen to. Your man's ran up on him with an IG page, like with an at name. Like, what are you doing, blood? I don't get it. I don't get exactly what he expected. That shit is fucking crazy. But 50 handled that shit proper, because I really thought he was gonna hook off on him. And some pulled his pants up like he wanted it, like his little ass really wanted problems with 50. Like, are you dumb? And his mans with the camera was not gonna help, because he didn't shift. He didn't move nothing. He was like, nah, I'm gonna capture this because we suing this nigga when it's done. Like, he was ready to capture that ass whooping. You feel me? I don't get it. I really don't get what his point was. And like Ronda Rocks just said, it wasn't a great approach. Yeah, he was way too aggressive. Like, and he even told you, like, he's trying to coach him through it. Like, bro, like, what is this gonna do for you right now? Like, nothing you could show me.
My question was, right, are you a rapper or Instagram model?
Yeah,
like that's what I was trying to figure out. Mike, what's your take on it? What's your take on that situation?
I haven't seen the video yet, but just I could already visualize what's going on. I get stuff like that all the time. People trying to hand me the mixtape. It's
thank you.
Whatever they want, or just hella DMs to rappers just trying to get me to listen to their music, but it's a proper way to network, you know what I'm saying? And 9 times out of 10, 50 Cent is not going to listen to any.
I think we're cutting up a little bit again, but I kind of get what he was saying. He was saying that he gets hit up all the time. You said a couple rappers hit you up, like check out their music and stuff. And yeah, you know, it's a little bit, it's cutting up a little bit. Definitely cutting up. I'm gonna go through the chat while his camera connects again. So we got let's start from the top. Shaw says, I heard behind closed doors he's not what he seems. King African Max says, laughing my ass till 50 was gonna beat his ass. The movie be Logan line. What's going on? Thank you for
movie blog. The movie be Logan. Yo, bro, you been sipping with CeCe, huh?
Wow.
Drug, right?
Wow. Oh, I just forgot how to read, huh?
Yeah, we can hear you, bro.
We back.
Oh, he just come back.
CeCe says he definitely was King. CeCe says his approach was so off. Shy says think it was clout chasing. King African Max says my white man's from Night at Noon, aka Lord, bro.
Lord, bro.
Albin think 50 was wrong. Red Moon Chan says I don't know how the interaction started, but he went left field. The movie blog online says first impressions matter. Shaw says it's hard to tell because the younger folks these days lack communication skills.
Right.
We said what Rhonda said. Joe said he should have just spit for him right then and there. If you a rapper, like spit. Like, right. All you gonna say is nigga, you gonna hit me because I got talent? Like, what? We don't know if you have talent. Like, if you're a rapper, you can spit right then and there. It's not like you're a producer and you can't. Which you can't bang on a tree and hopefully make a beat. Red Moon Chan says, don't approach anyone like that. At least have a card with your handles on it. But nah, he was all the way wrong.
Yo, the funny thing is, like, what Shy said made sense in a way. She said this younger generation lack communication skills. And you think about it, they all about the phones and internet, social media. So he probably don't even understand why he was wrong. You feel me? Unless it was just clout chasing and he was hoping to get knocked out or some shit so he could say he got, because you seen Cam Cohort, you feel me? Yeah. Ever since he got his ass put in the floor, like he been, I mean, on 50, IG
50 was ready for it. He was dressed like he was cooking at the barbecue.
Yo, 50 was ready to kill.
I
feel like they just don't know. Like, they don't have good communication skills or something, like, or him personally, because that shit didn't make no sense. I really don't know what he expected to come from that. Like, yo, check my IG. Did he think 50 was about to scroll through his IG? This man has multiple millions of dollars, and you think you're going to scroll your IG in a random movie theater, bro? What are you doing, son?
You got to look, like, where we come from, though. Like, the way we was brought up and the way kids brought up now, like, some kids are born and their parents have a cell phone and they face record.
True, true, true.
You know what I'm saying? So your whole life is under a scope when we was growing up, we was outside playing games and stuff. You know what I'm saying? We had video games, but we was active playing ball, running track or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Kicking it at the movies, kicking it at the mall. Now kids can go to the mall on their cell phone. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. That's a good point. I look at it this way, though, when it comes to business compared to just regular life, is I compare business to relationships. If you're going to approach a girl and you're going to try and get her number, you're not going to be like, yo, check out my IG, give me your number. Nah, it's not going to work like that. You got to spit some sort of game. And when it comes to communication in business, that's all it is. If you're trying to work with somebody, you need to be able to spit that business game and be able to get them to know what you do, to be able to like you and grow a relationship from there. That's what all of this is about. It's not about how much numbers you got. Like, you could have mad numbers, but it don't mean that a person wants to work with you. Then you just straight up clout chasing, in my opinion. Grow the relationships. That's what matters.
Exactly. And that's what the industry really is. Like, it's not even, it's probably like 10% actual business.
Respect. And that's funny, cause I was just watching a video and Sun said it's all business. Nobody's really a friend in the industry. Yeah, laugh and all that, and go to their parties and go out to brunch and all that. But remember, they're not really a friend. You feel me? So it's weird. Like, it's like a real balancing act. You got to think one side of it is like, let me be fake. Let me fake it till I make it. And and then the other side is like, let me try to build a genuine relationship. So it's weird. It's like a tightrope.
It's true, but I don't think it's just the industry. I think that's business in general, anywhere.
Facts.
Like, you, even if you're a doctor, I mean, you're not. Yeah, those are your coworkers. You're not going to be friends and happy with everybody. At the end of the day, if y'all doing surgery on somebody and somebody kicked the bucket while you're doing surgery, somebody got to deal with it. I think I don't know how it works when it comes to surgery. I'm making assumptions right now, but that's what I would think. You cut somebody open, somebody dies, somebody got to get blamed for it,
right? And yeah, that's everything though. Somebody always got to get blamed for something. You right.
So Mike, let me ask you, man, what advice would you give to somebody who was, if somebody was approaching you, whether it be on Instagram or in person, what would you have done differently in this situation, and what advice would you give?
Well, it's all about studying and knowing how to move and knowing the game. So, and just knowing networking in general. Like, I have a business degree, so it's like I kind of was taught certain things and how to move in business settings, but the average person might not have like that experience in learning. But I think how I would think as like a celebrity or something. And you got to look at it like, would I just talk and spend time with a random person? Would I give a random person random opportunities? Would I put a random person on, like somebody I don't have a natural relationship, you know what I'm saying? Or would I really help somebody who took the time to ask me to go like get a drink of coffee, or somebody that supports my music and repost stuff or pulls up to my parties and shows love and will pay at the door versus just hitting me up for the guest list every time. You know what I'm saying? It's different things to please people, and you just got to know what do people like and what do you need to give somebody that you want to get something from. You know what I'm saying? People don't think like that. They're just like, well, let me just ask this guy for something. And you're like, I literally have people like, yo, can you play my song? Or yo, bro, listen to this. It's like, why should I listen to your stuff versus anybody else? Or why should I play your song? I'm a producer. I'm trying to break my own artist. You know what I'm saying? People don't sit. Yep. They don't take the time to just think. They just act. And it's all this stuff I'm saying is common sense, really. You know what I'm saying? It's networking one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Build a personal relationship. That's number one right there. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Right. The best thing that you said, and the thing I like the most that you said, was what can I give? Like, what can I do for you? And last week when we had DJ Mike Medium on, he actually asked me that. And I said, if somebody were to approach me, same thing you said, like, what can I do to help this person out? Because I'm looking for something, and everything is an exchange in life. Exactly. Whatever you give is going to come back. You give a dollar to the homeless dude, that dollar is coming back tenfold. Like, everything, you water a plant, that plant going to grow. Everything is an exchange. You eat, you have energy. So it's the same thing. You can't just keep going to the tree and expecting to take fruit every time, and you're not watering it, you're not taking care of it. Eventually, the tree is going to die. So
exactly.
That's how I see it. It's about what can I give in order to get. in the chat. What do we got going on? It looks like you got a lot of stuff going on. Where was I at last? Real talk. He should. Okay, so King African Max says, real talk. He should have hooked off on 50. 50, my favorite rapper, but should have rocked it off. If he was with it like that. King African Max says, nigga 50 said, check my IG. I think that's the new line right there. So the CC Baby says, he's your favorite rapper, King, because he's from Big Queens. Yes, Big Queens. Queens is in the building.
Uptown, nigga. The Bronx.
Yeah, Africa says, if he was from the Bronx, then he'd be my favorite. Africa says, oh, shit, I just noticed that it's not Kirk Franklin that the host this week. Wait, what?
What?
My bad. I'm trying to figure out what he said. Kirk, that's not Kirk Franklin. That's the host this week. What's he? Oh, is he talking about Mike? He said you look like Kirk Frank. I'm guessing that's what he's saying.
You can't be new.
Stupid.
Yes, Queen does get the money. Everybody does know this.
Joe Jador, that's one of your mans, ain't it?
Yes. Yeah, shout out to him, man. He's a dope photographer, man. Really dope photographer. Shout out to him.
Respect.
Yeah, I actually saw him one time at one of Mike's events at Lot 45. I linked up with him over there. So now shout out to him. What about you, Lord? You got any takes on this situation? What would you do a little bit differently, as you being the artist? Honestly, would you have done?
Me being the artist, the way I've always approached things, like, I'm ultra fucking humble when it comes to people giving me anything in the industry. At the end of the day, I come from the place where I had to do everything by myself, where I had to like try my hardest to figure this industry out by myself. And then once I met up with my booking agent, Scott Morris, y'all might know him. He has a company called More Bookings, More Value. Like, once I met up with him and we started talking, I realized like he had so much game to put me onto, and it was directly an equivalent exchange, because we started talking. I was just another person I was gonna do a show with him, and then listen, I gotta shut the windows because New York don't know how to be quiet, right? You and your damn airplanes, bro. Now, when I met up with him, like, I never met him before. We spoke online or whatever. I never met him before. I met up with him in the city and we were talking, and I just so happened to mention cryptocurrencies to him and the fact that I was investing in them, and then he wanted to get into the space too. So I started giving him some info on the cryptos, and he started giving me game on the industry. And then niggas was like, yo, I already see how this is going to go. You feel me? But that was an equivalent exchange. And after that point, me and him got close. Like, we started talking about other stuff. I even met up with him when we went out to South by Southwest in Texas. So
yeah, I remember that.
I did shows with him for a year straight. I did like 13 shows in a year, all with him. You feel me? Just building that relationship, trying to foster that, because clearly both of us were gaining something from it. And like Full Metal Alchemist say, equivalent exchange, bro. To give something or to gain something, you got to give something of equal or greater value or less. Yeah, equal or greater value. So honestly, to me, I just try to be humble as possible. I try to listen as much as I can, especially even when I do know what the person is talking about, I still give them the respect to let them like tell me what it is, because at the end of the day, that might make you feel better. You feel me? That might make you feel better as a person. That helps the relationship, and that makes me not seem like a fucking asshole that just thinks he knows everything. You feel me? So that's the way I approach it when it comes to business situations and working together with other people, because you have to give everybody they due respect. To me, that's the biggest thing, like just showing respect, because everybody brings something to the table. And like Jay said, if every nigga in your clique is rich, your clique is rugged, nobody fall because everyone will be each other's crutches. Why not have a team full of versatile and diverse people? You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Absolutely. You got something to say, Mike? It look like you got something to say.
Nah, there's certain things he was saying, man. It's things that I've read in books like The 48 Laws of Power, man. Just when he was saying, when like somebody's telling you something you already kind of know, but you just let them rock. You know what I'm saying? It's like, never outshining the master, you know what I'm saying? Just certain things.
That's rule number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was rule number one. Yep. For a fact. But let's hop over to the next topic real quick, because we don't want to run out of time. You got that clip, Lord?
Yeah, let's throw the clip up real
quick. All right, yes, let's play that for everybody.
And that society wants me to be tough all the time. Yes, and the effect that it's had on our environment, see what I'm saying? Like, the environment that I came from Canarsie, they mess with our environment, you know what I'm saying? Like, they put guns in our areas, they put drugs in our areas. So we had no choice but to be tough. But, you know what I'm saying, in all honesty, you're supposed to show emotion, you're supposed to show sensitivity, because if you don't, you know what I'm saying, like, you're being inaccurate with yourself. If what's the whole point of having emotion if you don't show it, if you don't feel it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel pain for a reason, you're happy for a reason. So, yeah, society messed up. It messed with our heads, but us being intellectual, we just gotta dig into ourselves and really see what it's saying for, you know? The reason why negativity is in music so much, you know what I'm saying, is because it's the world. We live in a sinful world, you know what I'm saying? It's our flesh. We don't know no better. It's humans. So we just do wrong, as opposed to doing right all the time. It happens, but it takes a change. Once you see that one person change, it could affect everything, you know what I'm saying? So I wanna be that change.
All right, back again. As you can see, Flip De Niro talking about us as a people, us black brothers, and why we have to, you know, walk around and portray like a tough guy image all the time, as if it's necessary for survival. And I was talking to Deem throughout the week, well, earlier when we first started the topic, and I was like, do you think that's something that's necessary for us? And to me, like, coming from where I come from, I'm from Uptown Bronx, New York, like Gun Hill, Boston Road, Co-op City, Valley. If y'all know, y'all know, you feel me? Like, it's not an easy place to grow up. My older brothers came up from Jamaica, came here, was part of the Shower Posse, like, doing wild shit, you feel what I'm saying? So that just gives you a slight backstory. If you ever heard of Truman High School, Evander High School, shit is crazy over here. So, or was crazy. So it almost was like a requirement. And even before that, coming from like early 90s, you feel me? It was like a requirement for you to be tough to even walk down certain blocks, like, because you just look like a plate of food. And it's kind of retarded now that I think back at it. Like, we only look at ourselves that way. You feel me? It's kind of like a self-sustaining injury type shit. Like, we do it to ourselves, because when you see a bunch of, let's say you see a bunch of white people walking down the street, niggas more than likely wouldn't touch them. You feel me? Or would touch a group of black people before they touch them. And it's like, why do we associate self-destruction with ourselves in that manner, to the point where we gotta walk around looking tough all the time, putting on a mean face? If somebody look at you, it's not a hey, how you doing, or it's not a good evening, you feel what I'm, it's not a good evening, sir, it's a yo, what's good, you feel me? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm a victim of that shit, and I'm a perpetrator of that shit myself, because I've done ignorant shit in my life too, you feel me? I'm not proud of it, but it's kind of like a product of your environment kind of thing. And it's really self-destructive, and it's detrimental to your social standing, your mental health, to everything. And we really need to change that about ourselves, because it's unnecessary. Like he said, emotions are there for a reason. Like, if we didn't need the full range of emotions, we wouldn't be able to access them as humans. It doesn't make sense. You have to be in touch with your emotions, or it'll fuck you up. That's why a lot of people are going to therapy now. That's why a lot of people in the hip-hop game are emphasizing mental health now, or everywhere emphasizing mental health within the United States. And I think it's a larger symptom of the country itself, because America love violence, you feel me? America love the bad guy. America love guns, bombs, explosion. America loves guns and shit more than they love sex, which is kind of crazy. You feel what I'm saying? Like, to the point where how many school shootings done happen and ain't no laws been changed? There's always a new excuse. There's always a this, that, and the third. So it's like our micro side effects of the macro larger issue, which is America's fascination with fucking violence. And the faster we get to the root of that problem, the better. That's why you see movements like the feminist movement and Me Too and shit like that popping up all over the place, because it's a rebuke of the years and decades of fuckery and violence that's been going on within all communities within this country. It's kind of weird. It's really weird. And somebody, I feel like we're getting better. I feel like we're getting better. That's the best part about it. As time goes on, you see more people get rights. Like I said, the industry's starting to focus on mental health, but it still ain't happening fast enough. And as long as it's there, it's going to propagate our pop culture. As long as it's propagating pop culture, it's going to keep influencing the new generations to do the same shit. So I guess it starts with the culture. Like, we got to change the culture of our communities. Period.
Yeah. I like what you said about culture too, because it also goes back to the music as well. And I think that's where some of it stems from. A lot of music we do listen to, a lot of the hits, a lot of songs is about shooting, killing somebody. What's your take on it, Mike? How do you feel about this topic? Do you think that black men have to look tough in order to survive in their environments?
I feel like in certain instances, yeah, you do, man. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You know what I'm saying? Another black man will rob you before a white man will rob you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes a certain look might save your life. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, you know, it's certain people from the suburbs and certain people from the hood that just know in certain areas to act a certain way. You know what I'm saying? And it's a defense mechanism. You know what I'm saying? We have to do it sometimes.
It's interesting. I like what you said about the defense mechanisms in different environments, like, and how we have to adapt. And I think it kind of goes back to our last topic, even with the networking with people. You got to learn how to adapt in certain environments, and it's just unfortunate that in some black environments that we have to adapt in a way where it's like, all right, I'm ready to fight at any given second. Like, I have to have this negative mindset as I'm walking down this block in the Bronx or Brooklyn because something might happen. I don't feel comfortable. But then I'll go out to Long Island and I won't even lock my doors on my car when I go inside a spot. I'm being honest. Like, like if I ever did that in Brooklyn, I would feel scared that somebody's going to break into my car. Like, somebody's
the funny thing is, they wouldn't know that your shit. I don't even know where the idea comes from, because how would they know that your car out of all of the cars is unlocked? They would have to be searching every single car.
I have seen that before. Where dudes do walk down the block and they pull the doors.
On my block, bro. We almost had to kill some nigga out here, bro.
All right, not on live.
You're right. Nah, but I feel you. I feel you. Because I was just in Delaware and I felt, Nick, what? I would walk outside 3 o'clock in the morning with a dog. Jogging, nigga, in some shorts and some Skechers, bro. Like, looking like a big plate of food, but I'm feeling comfortable as hell because that whole mentality is gone. And I wonder, like, what brings it up? And in the chat, Africa said, but black men have to be tough in every environment, not just America. So is it the culture or is it in our DNA as the original men? He said, same way black women have to take a lot of shit, but it's not a black woman. If it's not a black woman, who else can handle it? What other kind of woman? Hispanic, of course, but they still black. Who's tougher than black girls? Is that culture or in their DNA? And I feel like that is culture, bro, because it can't be no DNA unless it can't be DNA, bro, because you could go to France or, like I said, Delaware, and you'll see some black girls that are soft as shit, bro, and don't have a care in the world. They walking like this, like on some airhead shit, but not in a bad way. You feel what I'm saying? They aloof. Like, they don't have a care in the world. I think it's environment. Like, it depends. Like, we're packed up in New York. Like, we're packed up. We're all on top of each other. Everything is expensive as hell. Cost of living is crazy. Like, people can't find jobs. Drugs is rampant. Shit like that. You feel what I'm saying? So, of course, there's gonna be those little sections that's extra crazy because people don't have what good means. So I damn sure don't think it's no DNA thing, bro. I think it's just a product of your environment. And you got to choose to be bigger than that. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it. I'm not trying to be on no preacher shit, on no high horse shit. Because like I said, I done did ignorant shit. I done jumped niggas. I done beat niggas up. Like, wild, dumb shit. You feel what I'm saying? Like, so it's hard to... I feel like everybody should take a field trip outside their hood. You feel me?
Oh, just absolutely. Absolutely. I say that all the time.
Bro,
the change of environment. Different, yeah. Bro. Change of environment would definitely. I mean, let me ask you, Mike. You had a change of environment. You came from Memphis to New York. Like, from what you've seen growing up to compare what you see here. Like, what's the differences that you've seen, or things that you've experienced?
I actually moved here from Atlanta, so this is
Talk about it. Talk about it, man. I'm curious to hear about it.
Memphis is a dangerous city, so we wouldn't even really just go out like that. You know what I'm saying? We just more like throwing house parties and kicking it with our friends and just going out to eat and stuff, like movies. But like, I wasn't really trying to go to parties in Memphis just because you sit there, watch the news and just see people get killed and shot all the time. And then I went away to college when I turned 18 to the University of Tennessee. And that's in Knoxville. It's like one of the whitest places in the world. It's in the Smoky Mountains. So like, it was it was a lot safer. You know what I'm saying? We moved a little differently. You know, it's still a hood in Knoxville. There's still black people there and stuff. You know, certain situations happen. But it was a lot safer in Memphis. So I was out more. I was partying more, you know, and I'm throwing parties. I'm DJing and stuff at the time. And then I graduate. I moved to Atlanta. And Atlanta's just like, it's chocolate city. You know what I'm saying? So it's good parts. It's bad parts. Like, I've literally been in the projects in video shoots with 21 Savage and Migos back in 2014. So it's like... I've been around everything. Then I'd be in Buckhead, kicking it with some white homies, you know what I'm saying? Eating hot wings, listening to country music, you know what I'm saying? So I've literally been in all type of culture shock instances. And like, I feel like now that I'm in New York, I actually like it. This is my favorite place I've lived in so far, you know what I'm saying? This is my fourth city I lived in my life.
That's dope. Yeah. I like you said, it's a culture shock, and that change of environment, I'm sure, has helped you to be able to come to New York and be able to do the things that you do because you learned it somewhere else. And when you grow up in one environment and that's what you live in, you're in this cage, and that's all you know. That's all you know how to do. You just know how to survive in that cage, and you come out and you've experienced the world for the first time, and things do change. So I think it is very important for people to get out of their neighborhoods and just experience something. Like for me, it was Connecticut, man. I went to school in Connecticut, and that
that was the culmination of everything. Because I've been out the country in different states, but CT,
that 4 years, like, I came back to New York and I looked at New York. I had a bigger appreciation for New York, I should say. Like, I realized that it was easier to network, the places that I can go, the things that I can do, things not being shut down on Sunday. You know, the city shut down at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. come, everything closed, you know, and I think that was a very good experience. Where we at on time right now? I mean, we got going on in the chat.
I think we got like 9 minutes.
We got to be 10, about to hit 10. So we got Iron Lies Eye says, yes, we do. From surviving the block to surviving the police. And the fact that we do have to live by an additional set of rules that nobody else does.
And the thing is, I don't think it's like nobody else, because I'm sure there's like white or what they would call trailer trash people that go through some hood rat shit too, you feel me? But just in a different way, maybe not as aggressive.
Definitely.
Yeah, you feel me? Not as aggressive, not as a rough, or maybe worse, you feel me? You never know, but it's just what we're exposed to on a grand scale. And like Dean said, like I've been to a couple countries, I've been to a couple states, so I seen from a young age, thankfully I was able to do that, you feel me? Mm-hmm. But not a lot of people where we come from even have that opportunity. Not a lot of people get out of like a 15 block radius, you feel what I'm saying? Like, they're stuck right there, you feel me? So once you're able to really expand your horizons, you can see like the world is much, much bigger than you. And that's one other thing that messes you up when you're trapped in a box like that. you're kind of focused solely on yourself, in a sense. It's damn near like you're focused solely on survival. Once you're able to get out, you realize there's more beauty to the world. You feel me? And CT being away, like, definitely helped. Because even while we was away, you know, a few people had cars and shit. We would go on road trips to different places. So even outside of just being in CT, we got to see more places.
Yeah.
Right? And I
got Rhode Island, Mass. Yep.
Bro, yo, CT was the spot that I hung out with the most diverse set of people probably ever. You feel what I'm saying? Instead of it just being majority Black and Spanish people. Like, and I really appreciate that because I had some prejudices like everyone else. You feel me? I had some prejudices toward white people and the experiences I had with like police in the hood and shit like that, seeing what I seen on TV. Like, and once you get out there, you get around them, you realize, yo, they just want to party, drink beer, and get
like, yo, they're a fun group of people, man. Yeah,
facts. They just want to live the same dream everybody else want to live. They might just have an easier opportunity at achieving it, but at the end of the day, as long as we all realize we're human and we more gentle with each other, I feel like this place would be a lot better than it is right now.
I just want to go through the last couple of comments, and then we're going to start wrapping up. Mike, you have something to say just now?
Nah, man, I'm co-signing everything he just said.
Gotcha. Yo, another thing, Africa just made me realize, selling weed helped me meet some. Yo, I've met a variety of places selling weed up at UB, bro. I don't know the statute of limitations, but we going legal. Fuck y'all. You feel me?
I mean, they don't know it's trees.
Allegedly.
This is hip hop.
Allegedly, selling weed in Connecticut introduced me to so much. That's where I first smoked bongs, vapes, fucking. And first mix weed with hookah, like that. Selling weed is a gateway to a good fucking time and some good memories and a new network of people. It ain't no gateway to other drugs unless you are already like a cokehead. You feel what I'm saying or whatever. not saying there's anything wrong with coke. I know coke when you're rich, it's a habit.
It's a lot of wrong things with coke.
Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, I don't want to ostracize anybody. I don't do coke. I'm Jamaican. They'll probably button me out if I ever touch no white lady. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know about that. The only coke I drink is in the bottle.
Not even that I drink.
I don't. Yeah, you're right. I just drink stuff. Who am I lying to? Okay, so he's giving us an example. He said, when Scott goes to a supermarket, it's fine. When I do, I have to know what I want and get in and get out fast before they think I'm stealing. Max says, and it's wild because Brooklyn was at the height of scamming and violence when I got to CT, and thank God for removing me from that. That's a fact.
Uptown shut down certain chases, bro. It was certain like the Chase or even like certain clothes shop like the Saks in Manhattan, a few of them, like if you went there, they had extra security measures just because all the scamming niggas, bro.
That's when the scamming hit.
Bro, oh man.
But then King African Max says, because I damn sure was into all the bullshit, then I realized Connecticut and other states existed, even though I sold weed to all my colleges. But if I stayed in Brooklyn, I'd be scamming even harder. Pause. I'd just be scamming.
yo, and confession to all my UB niggas, I was skimping the fuck out of my bags, boy. Damn. For a dime, I was giving niggas.
I'm hanging like, up on you now,
bro. who else was they gonna go to? And niggas wouldn't give me school. What you call it when you get a job on campus?
Work study.
Niggas would not give me that, bro. So I had to get it. You feel me? At least the grams was 0.8.
On that note, we gonna go ahead and wrap up. Yo, Mike, let everybody know where they can find you at. If you got any events that's coming up, let everybody know.
Man, y'all can find me at DJ Mike Nasty on everything, all social media, DJMikeNasty.com. It's official. I'm spending this Friday. You can check out the link in my bio on Instagram, has all my upcoming gigs, man. I got a lot of parties coming.
That's a fact. And if you guys have not been to a DJ Mike Nasty party, I need to go, man. This guy had me breakdancing for the first time in like 5 years. I thought I was going to be hurting the next day, son. I'm not going to lie. I thought I was going to be hurting. I did not do a windmill in like 5 years. But thank you, everybody, that did tune in today. We really appreciate every single one of y'all. Make sure y'all do go to qualitytimenetwork.com where y'all can start earning prizes for your attention. Yes.
Yes, prizes. Yes. And right now we got a drone up there. Don't worry. I told y'all we about to throw a 50-inch on that bitch. We already gave away a TV last
Christmas.
We did
give away a TV. Yeah.
You missed that? Damn. You feel me? And that was for free. You ain't even have to exchange. You ain't have to exchange no tokens for that. We just gave that out of love. You feel me?
Yeah.
You feel me? Now you got to earn it.
So more prizes coming soon. Thank you, everybody that did tune in. Quality Time Network, DJ Deem. I'm out of here.
Yes. It's your boy, Lord. Peace. Another episode. Let's roll these credits, man.
All right. Mike out too, right?
Peace. Yep.